Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 20th of September, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host on the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, our friends up in Globe and Gila County, listen to the Buckmaster Show on KJAA AM 1240. Down in Cochise County, Douglas, the folks listening to us on KAPR AM 930. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web. We're at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of our previous programs. Plus, the Buckmaster Show can now be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. The Tucson Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. The lineup for this Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show includes our leadoff conversation with Dr. Victoria Mazes, the executive director of the Tucson-based Center for Integrative Medicine. At 20 minutes past the hour, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman joins us. At the bottom of the hour, a newsmaker interview with the new fire chief of the city of Tucson, Jim Critchley, will be here. Then we'll close out the show talking Tucson history with Ken Scoville, the Buckmaster Show contributor on history. Mr. Scoville is one of 24 monthly contributors to the Buckmaster Show. The full list is on our website, and it is an impressive list of people, and we are honored that they believe in this program and want to be a part of it. The Buckmaster Show is an interview-driven talk show, and we encourage you to be part of the conversation by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040 or toll-free from anywhere in North America 1-866-725-5467. You can also email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have a story idea or a particular guest you would like to hear interviewed, let us know. Well, there are so many environmental health issues facing us each and every day. How serious are these threats? We're going to explore that question in our monthly conversation with the Buckmaster Show contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes, the executive director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. She is a professor of medicine, family, and community medicine and public health at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She lectures worldwide to academic and community audiences on integrative medical education, women's health, healthy aging, nutrition, and cancer. She's the co-author of Integrative Women's Health. Dr. Mazes, good to see you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
You know, when you talk about environmental health issues, how widespread, how big a problem is this we're talking about?
Well, we're surrounded by chemicals all the time. They're in the air we breathe. They're in the personal care products we use on our bodies, like shampoo or conditioner or moisturizers. They're in the water we drink. They're outside when a bus goes by and we inhale the exhaust. So they're really ubiquitous. There's over 80,000 chemicals that are now available in the United States.
So thousands, tens of thousands of these potentially environmental toxins are something that we could come into contact with at some point.
Well, could and do, and do. There's a lot of
case
studies.
Case in point, I have a bottled water in front of me in a plastic bottle, and some of the things you were telling me before we went on the air, I don't know if I'm going to open that plastic bottle.
Yeah, well, actually, that's a really easy one for us to get used to here in Southern Arizona, would be to carry a stainless steel or a glass water bottle, because those plastic water bottles are made with BPA, which is bisphenol A, which has all sorts of effects we know on our bodies, on our health. They're endocrine disruptors, which means that they interfere with the normal actions of our hormones in a whole myriad of ways, including increasing obesity. That's one no one wants to hear.
I think people assume that because a product is sold, you buy your bottled water, that people assume that it's safe.
Well, I think that bottled water is probably less safe than municipal water. You know, municipal water, our tap water, has to be tested in multiple ways quite regularly, whereas bottled water only has to be tested once a year. Bottled water, you know, you have this idea it's coming from some pristine spring, but it easily could just be tap water in a bottle.
Yeah, you get the image that it's coming down from the Rockies on a nice little pristine mountain stream. It's not just bottled water. It's the creams that we use, the beauty creams and all the beauty products. And there's so many in that when it comes to that industry, the beauty products industry, that really you need to raise the red flag.
Well, I agree, and so I'm glad we're talking about this. Two places that I highly recommend that you actually check out the products you're using. This could be sunscreen, moisturizer, shampoo, and especially things that you're using on your baby or your children, because they're really sensitive to the effect of these environmental chemicals, and their systems for detoxification are not nearly as mature or as able to handle this as people who are well into adulthood. But safecosmetics.org is one, and the other is the environmental working group's Skin Deep, and they really have looked at tens of thousands of personal products and they rank them. So 0 to 2 is really quite safe, and 3 to 6 is of moderate risk, and over 7 is of high risk. And you can go on that website. It's free. You can take a look and see how does your shampoo or your cosmetic or a product you're using on your baby stack up. And if it doesn't do very well, you can easily find a much safer choice.
Is it generally thought that a beauty product that has fragrance in it would be a little more potentially dangerous than one that doesn't?
Absolutely, because fragrances are actually considered trade secrets, and so the companies don't actually have to disclose what's in them. But most of them have synthetic musks, and these are, again, endocrine disruptors, and they are quite hazardous to us, and most of us have them in our bodies when we're tested. They don't break down well, so they persist in the environment. They're in our fat. So unless it says pure essential oils or 100% essential oils, anytime you see fragrance, it's code word for that there are these synthetic musks and there's phthalates and other kinds of endocrine disrupting chemicals.
Well, and you travel a lot, and every nice hotel, or practically any hotel, it doesn't even have to be a nice hotel, they all have products in the bathroom that are there waiting for you, and you open the shampoo, and it usually smells really good.
It does smell good. I agree. So, you know, the thing is, Bill, that you can make yourself crazy trying to pay attention to every last chemical. And what I would recommend is that you really think about what are the things you do every day? What are you exposed to all the time? So, for example, if you want to reduce chemicals in your home, concentrate on your bedroom. You're there for 8 hours a night. The shampoo you use every day, probably better to think about than when you're in a hotel once a week or once a month or once a year. Think a lot about what you use on your baby because of the fact that they don't have much sophistication. Or if you're pregnant, think about the health of your fetus.
What about organic? If a shampoo or a beauty product, or for that matter, they also say sometimes natural product, is that... Does that mean anything?
So organic has real teeth when we're talking about food, and we've spoken before.
So there's a big difference between buying organic food and buying a shampoo that says organic.
Exactly right. So when you're buying organic food, it means something. When you're buying a cosmetic or a moisturizer shampoo, organic doesn't actually mean anything, nor does hypoallergenic, nor does natural. These are marketing terms, and it's not regulated in the same way in the personal care products as it is for foods.
This is the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040. We have a caller, Victoria, if you'll slip on your headset there. And I think it's Al is ready for us, and Al is not at all happy about the remarks concerning bottled water. Go ahead, Al.
Bill, thank you. Victoria, thank you very much for your comments, but I'm very offended by the comments that you made regarding bottled water. I do agree that there's a fallacy out there that a lot of bottled water come from tap water, which is untrue. Secondly, Bill, is a bottle of water that you have in front of you is one that I think you have, which was supplied by the radio station. You folks need to investigate how that water is bottled. That water is tested daily at least three times. Our bottles are properly sanitized based on state, federal, and local specifications. And the best water that you could ever have is the one that's right in front of you now.
Well, thank you. Can we mention the name there, Al?
Absolutely.
It's Culligan Water.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm so glad that you called. I think what we were trying to say is, Al, that there are differences in bottled water, and I think you'd probably agree with Victoria on that.
There is, and the one that I do agree with is spring water. Spring water, to me, is dirty water. I'm in the business, and spring water, we go get it from the Sedona Springs. Just the way it comes, we take out the odor and the bad taste, put it in a bottle, and it's sold very expensively. But the water that's in front of you, when we bottle it daily, it has to be tested at least three times a day.
Well, thank you, Al. Thanks for setting the record straight about the bottle of water that I have in front of me. But you would agree that this is an issue that really needs clarification.
Absolutely. That's why everybody should be.
So what I would say is that there is a difference between municipal water, which is regulated by the Environmental Protection Agency, and in some ways one could wrestle that our municipal waters aren't as clean as they need to be. Bottled water, on the other hand, is overseen by the Food and Drug Administration, and the standards are simply less stringent. So while the caller may be testing their water multiple times a day, that's actually not required by law. The laws are different for bottled water and for municipal water. Also, bottled water in plastic bottles, there is a lot of evidence that the BPA in the bottles are leaching into the water, especially if it's exposed to heat. So if it's left in a Tucson automobile in the summer, I wouldn't drink it after that. But there is a lot of controversy about water.
Al, are you still with us?
I'm here.
Okay. Do you agree with what Victoria just said?
No, sir.
Okay.
You know, the controversy will continue, Bill. And, you know, yes, some of them is regulated by the FDA. But when you're regulated by other organizations that are more stringent than the FDA, you know, how much better water could you get?
Okay.
That's what I pride myself.
Al from Culligan. Go ahead, Victoria. Final comment. We're just about out of time.
Sure. One last thing I'd say is if you are drinking municipal water, you might consider doing a little extra filtering at your own tap. And so I'd recommend in Tucson, where water is scarce, that you use a charcoal filter. And that'll help pull out some of the chlorine and some of the other environmental chemicals that you'd rather not be drinking.
Okay. And thank you, Al from Culligan, for calling and talking at least about your particular water. Thank you, Al.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, that was Al on Culligan Water. And Victoria, I can't believe the time went so fast.
It's a big topic.
It is a big topic, and I think we will definitely revisit it in the future. But again, the websites that you recommend, Skin Deep, if you Google on Skin Deep or Safe Cosmetics, Google on either, you can check out your particular cosmetic and find out what they say about it, how it's rated. Thank you, Victoria.
It's a pleasure, as always.
All right, Victoria Mazes for the Center for Integrative Medicine. Also, thanks to Al from Culligan Water for checking in with us. We have Shelley Fishman. We'll talk about the your Money Maker report. That's coming up next.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialist and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, sierrasuncontrol.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My Foot Doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And the gentleman I always refer folks to for financial advice is Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you today?
I am doing great. And you know, you had a few days over in San Diego. You were rubbing elbows with colleagues from all over the country, financial planners. Kind of, I guess it's the National Financial Planners annual convention.
Exactly, the Financial Planners Association. It's, I think, the largest organization of certificates in the country.
Was there a particular message that came out of these meetings in San Diego?
Yes, a message of concern about the economy, of course, and concern about where equities are moving and how to bring a quality product, a dependable product, a fiduciary-based product to the care standards that we use when we work with clients. So it's all about our clients, of course, and from a political perspective, what the FPA, and that's the name of the organization, what we're really behind is the idea that there should be a standard of care for clients across all of the financial world, if you will, when you hold yourself out as an advisor, that clients should be able to rely on the work you do as being what is best for the client, not just what is adequate or what is appropriate, but what is best for the client. That's a fiduciary standard of care. And we're working hard with Congress and the SEC to impose that kind of standard on our industry.
While I was hearing you respond to that, one word popped into my head, and I wrote it down, trust.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we rely on trust. It's remarkable how many people will come into my office and actually hire me to do the job for them without ever checking my resume, without ever checking to see if I have any complaints against me, without, you know, just because I'm there and maybe because I'm part of a credit union, there's an implied trust. And you know what? I think that's not unusual in this industry, that people come in, they look around, they get a feeling about the person they're interviewing, and then they take their lives, their financial lives, and plunk them down on your desk. And there's very few standards out there today that justify that trust. And what we're trying to do as an organization is impose some standards so that when a person does give us that trust, it's merited, it's warranted.
And you really do. People are very trusting. I mean, like you say, you have clients that don't check your background, but generally people are very trusting. This is an area, though, when it comes to your money, you have to be so careful.
Right. And look, a lot of people, you talk about money, even their own money, their own retirements, their eyes glaze over and, you know, eyeballs go in the back of their head, and they don't want to talk about money. They say, I'm going to give it to you, Shelley, and I'm going to let you manage it for me, and I trust that you're going to do a good job. And, you know, I trust that I do. But there's thousands of people out there holding themselves out as financial advisors whose backgrounds do not merit the trust that they get. People who are out pushing products, whose companies hold them to quotas, these are kinds of things that you have to know about as a client. I'm not necessarily saying that if you're selling insurance and your client knows you're selling insurance and you buy insurance, that's a bad thing. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying if you as the client don't know that the person you're sitting across from is commissioned to sell a specific product, and that person then says, hey, this is the best product for you, you know, how do you know it's the best product for you? So having a fiduciary standard helps guarantee that at least the thought process going into that recommendation will be first and foremost what's best for the client.
And that C is important, that certified financial planner.
Absolutely.
The CFP.
But we're not pushing for that.
No.
I mean, we think that people should be certified, but even non-certified financial advisors, if at least they were regulated to the extent that they had a fiduciary standard of care, that would help a lot.
The market today is
up about 60 points. Yeah, the news at the hourly break was just wrong. It said it was down 100 points. I don't know where that came from, but it's been up over 100 most of the day. And the last time I checked, it was up about 60.
I think somebody got confused with either a plus or a minus. They were in a hurry or something. People can make money, though, in this environment.
Oh, absolutely.
And we call our report the Moneymaker Report with Shelley Fishman, and you can make money.
Yeah, the overall economic feeling that came out of the conference over the weekend was we are in a period of reduced returns, that returns on equity over the next probably 3 or 4 years are going to be in the 5 to 6% range. That volatility, the ups and downs, the crazy roller coaster is going to stay with us for a while, and that the the spread between fixed income and equities is going to reduce. So that tells you, you know, what risk premium there is.
Got to go. Where can they find you, Shelley?
Oh, gosh, 795-7950. Just give me a call and trust will happen.
All right. Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner, with us every Tuesday at 1220. Thanks, Shelley.
Thanks, Bill.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A suicide bomber hiding explosives in his turban has killed a former Afghan president who was in charge of efforts to establish peace talks with the Taliban. Senate Democratic leader Harry Reid says he'll try this week to add almost $7 billion in disaster aid to a bill needed to avert a government shutdown. Warning sirens and notifications went out well before a powerful tornado devastated Joplin, Missouri in May. A government report, though, says a vast majority of residents were too slow to react. The twister killed 162 people. Updating Wall Street, heading into the final 30 minutes of trading, the Dow is up about 60 points, the Nasdaq trading 20 points lower, the S&P is 1 point higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in Southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at splendidoaz.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit Services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for words and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
It's 1234. This is the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and The Voice Network, our simulcast partners up in Globe and in Douglas. And we were talking at the beginning of the program about our list of 24 or so contributors to this program. These are great people that we have lined up to appear at least once a month here on the Buckmaster Show, and one of them joins us now, our contributor on local history, Ken Scoville, who is a native Arizonan who has been a teacher in Tucson for many years. And Ken writes extensively and has written extensively and still is and gives all sorts of tours about Tucson history. Ken, how are you today?
Well, I'm fine. Busy, but I'm great, Bill.
You are busy. You're teaching. And speaking of teaching, I thought that this, because it's kind of back to school time this month on the Scoville History Report, we would look at public education. When you think of the fall traditions, of course, many people think of football, but there is the much older fall tradition here in Tucson and throughout the country. And really, when you think about it, when I was growing up, it was kind of back to school. Everybody went back to school the day after Labor Day.
Right. That's the traditional time. What's happened with all teachers, more days, more planning, more workshops. That I know I still work for Amphitheater School District part-time, and it's the first week in August that school's beginning. Teachers come back, and then students come back. So it's a longer year, less summer off, but more important for the kids.
When did public education, Ken, really begin here in Tucson?
Well, we had some off-again, on-again starts, but the real formal beginning for public education is really in November of 1867 for school district number one, and that's really what we think of as Tucson Unified Day. And the first school board members were leaders like John Pye Allen and William Ury. And they finally got a little bit of money together, and they actually rented an adobe building on Pennington Street. And I have a picture of it just because I'm really interested. And our first school teacher was Augustus Brichta. But true to sort of many things that happened with education, it was just boys only, and the school ran only 6 months before funds ran out.
Well, lack of funding, that's an issue that is still with us today.
Well, it's unfortunately in some ways an historic tradition in Tucson. And we had, even though the territorial legislature was more concerned about fighting the Apaches and saloons and gambling, we had some great advocates for public education in Tucson. Person in particular, Anson Safford. We actually have a school named for him in downtown Tucson.
And the town of Safford, right. I assume.
I'm not certain on that, but that's a little
name
different.
His name for Anson Safford.
And he was the territorial governor at the time and a real proponent of a free public education in Tucson. And he put together a bill that was going to be introduced in the territorial legislature that essentially made him the de facto school superintendent. And it also had some funding issues. And then I'm going to mention a few names that are famous names in Tucson. The Senate member at that time in the territorial legislature for Tucson was Esteban Ochoa. And he actually introduced the bill for Safford. And the person that lobbied for the bill was Sam Hughes. And as Sam Hughes, again, famous for his very large family, and the joke around town was, you just want to get school going so you can get your kids out of your hair. And maybe that's another fall tradition, is for the parents to get their kids out of their hair.
So the Hughes had a huge family.
Yes, I think 15 children.
Is that right?
Yeah, 12 lived to be adulthood, but 15 children.
And, of course, Sam Hughes, one of the early pioneer families in Tucson. There's the Sam Hughes neighborhood over by the university, quite famous in its own right.
Well, which is really named for Sam Hughes School.
Uh-huh.
And people don't realize, just as a diversion for a second, that Sam's wife was much younger than he was, and she was sort of the patriarch for the school and used to go over and visit the school until she died, I think, in the late 1920s. So there's been a strong connection, and most of the names that you think of when you think of Tucson Unified School District are actually pioneer names and people who are involved with public education in Tucson.
So public education had kind of a false start here in Tucson, only really was going for about 6 months.
6 months, and then Mr. Safford did get his bill through, and true to form, a lot of the funding mechanisms were pared down by the territorial legislature. But we had a second attempt with a school teacher by the name of John Spring and rented another adobe building for $16 a month. Again, only a boys' school. And we talk about class sizes today at school. Well, it started small, and then they had 138 boys.
Oh, my goodness.
And one
You're telling
room,
me in one room?
In one room. And I like the little notation I picked up. Many parents urged Spring to use the flogging sticks that they had provided. So probably a little bit some discipline issues.
Governor Safford, though, lived close by, right?
And he would go over and tell. This was a big thing for him. And then, so we started again, and one of the great stories about in Tucson that I like to tell on my walking tours, that about a year later, in late 1872, 73, Territorial Governor Safford, on I think a train trip, or he was back over in California, recruited two single school teachers to come out here to Tucson, Miss Harriet Bolton and Miss Mariah Wakefield.
And where did he recruit them?
Well,
he was on the train, and
on the train, and they were actually teaching in Stockton, California. And if you want to listen to an enticement to come to Tucson, he said, "You can make the crossing to Tucson in November. We think the Apaches are going to be farther east, so your crossing should be fine for the 5 days and nights of continuous riding on the stage from Stockton, California."
Oh, that must not have been a very comfortable ride over from Stockton, California. How about Catholic schools? Catholic schools, the parochial schools, have a great tradition and great reputation here in southern
right.
Arizona.
Right, and again, like everything in its infancy, the first people that really were responsible for Catholic education in Tucson were the Sisters of St. Joseph of Carondelet. They came out here, and their classes were held in the convent, which was right next door to the original St. Augustine Cathedral.
So we've had a couple of false starts on public education. School is now starting for Catholics. What about Tucson getting a real brick and mortars, like a real school?
Well,
building.
Our first formal school building was the Congress Street School, and it was on the north side of the street between Scott and 6th. And now here's another perspective on growth in Tucson. And it was a real community thing. Estevan Ochoa, who was mayor at the time, was very involved with the construction of this and contributing to this, also was Sam Hughes. But people were concerned because they considered it too far out of town.
The growth issue certainly started, didn't it? Way back in the 1870s,
yes,
people worrying
right.
about the growth.
And the perspective that things seem far out of town, but in reality, they're not going to be far out of town.
Then the University of Arizona, that founding came along in, 1885?
Right. This is a classic story, and I imagine a lot of listeners know about this, but 1885, there was a large appropriation for some major public works in the territory. And the one that everybody wanted was the insane asylum, the state hospital.
That was the real plum, wasn't it?
That was the plum. There was a $100,000 allocation for that. And true to form, not saying that Tucson comes up short, but because there was a flood on the Salt River and some other delays, we didn't get up to the actual legislative meeting in Prescott. Again, just for your listeners, Prescott was the first capital, then it went to Tucson, back to Prescott, and then eventually to Phoenix. So when we got there, we got the consolation prize, a $25,000 allotment for a university, but nothing else.
And what did Tempe get?
Tempe actually got what they would call a normal school. It started as a teacher's class.
A normal school.
They called that a normal school. That was for teaching teachers to teach.
Hmm.
And then the other prizes were Florence got a bridge over the Gila River, and the other big plum, the territorial prison, went to Yuma.
So everybody was fighting really for the insane asylum.
Yeah, the $100,000 allocation, that was jobs, employment, all these things sound familiar today, but that was it. Now, so we've got the allocation for $25,000, and there's stories, and I'm not completely verified, when our representatives came back to Tucson, we threw vegetables at them and a dead chicken and all those kind of nice things.
What about the land for the University
of Arizona? No land. Again, you could not write a better story than this. Then you have a couple of saloon gamblers and one keeper by the name of Parker Giffords and a Mr. Reed. And they bought 40 acres of land. Maybe they won in a gambling contest. They had 40 acres of land. They said, it's out in the middle of nowhere, but we'll give it to you for the starting of the foundation for the University of Arizona.
There was the gambling tie-in then, right?
Yes.
And the same year, the Safford School was constructed next to the military plaza.
Right. Downtown, where is it now Armory Park, was where the camp below was encamped before 1873 when they went out and made the permanent fort at Fort Law. It was really to offer Governor Safford for all the work that he'd done. And like I said, it becomes a who's who of territorial figures in Tucson when you think of Mariah Wakefield and Bolton and all the schools named for those people.
What about the Tucson Historic Preservation Group, Ken? I know that this is a group you feel very strongly about.
Right. I'm actually a member. It's called the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. And they've sort of reinstituted this organization that was sort of loosely involved 10 years ago to offer tours, lobby for all kinds of historic issues in Tucson. I've done some tours for them also. But what's so exciting to me, being that I'm becoming an old timer, is that they're all in their 30s. They're architects, other people. Damian Klinko is the president. Great ideas. He just did a tour of the Valley of the Moon on Sunday. So you ought to go to their website, Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation. Join. Tours are free if you're a member. I think membership is $40 for the year. Do lots of great events.
And you do a lot of tours yourself. How can people get a hold of you to if someone wants you to speak at an event?
Oh, well, you know, I'm happy to. My email address is OPT1775 at Yahoo.
OPT.
Stands for Old Pueblo Tours, 1775, the Foundation of the Presidio, at yahoo.com.
Do you mainly specialize in the downtown Presidio tours?
I do tours of Congress Street.
You did something on Miracle Mile.
Well, I do that once a year. We do a tour celebrating that. I do Fort Lowell a lot and lots of public speaking on Tucson.
And I know you've been very active in preservation in this town. Generally, we don't have a very good record on preservation. When you look at the Tucson Convention Center and what many thought were some of the best barrio adobe buildings downtown torn down in the late 60s.
Right. And a lot, most people are not realize that the El Charro restaurant, they had to leave during urban renewal. The building is there still within La Placida, but the Cine Plaza Theater, lots of great businesses. The urban renewal is a very complex and unfortunate endeavor.
Ken Scoville, always a pleasure. We will see you in October with History of Tucson in October on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you very much, Ken.
Thank you, Bill.
We have the Tucson Fire Chief, the new Tucson Fire Chief, coming up next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. It's 12:50 on the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, AM 1030, and our simulcast partners in Globe and Douglas. The Tucson City Council is expected today to approve the interim city manager's recommendation to appoint Chief Jim Critchley as the new fire chief of the Tucson Fire Department. Chief Critchley has served as interim fire chief since February of this year. A native Tucsonan and firefighter since 1984, Chief Critchley was awarded the Fire Chief of the Year by the Arizona State Fire Chiefs Association. He's currently the president of the Western Fire Chiefs Association, which has allowed him to work closely with national fire suppression leaders. Chief Critchley, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me, and I just need to make one correction on that. I'm native Southern Arizona. I was born in Douglas, Arizona, but within 6 months I've been in Tucson.
Okay. Well, our friends who are listening to us in Douglas are delighted that you made that correction. So you are a native son of Douglas, Arizona, Chief.
There we go.
Talk about the 911 system. This is a problem, a plagued area. The fire department took over the 911 system last month. How is it going?
You know, it's I'm seeing lots of improvement. We don't have everything completely solved or fixed, but we aren't having, it's not impacting getting the 911 calls. It's more about routing and building in processes for how we deal with the 911 calls once they get into the system. Lots of great people and great partners working to solve these problems, but it's, things are going well as we move through these.
The whole concept of the fire department chief managing the communications center, you would think that is a natural, and I assume that that's done in many communities. Is that the way it's done?
So in the latest needs assessment survey done by the National Fire Protection Association this year, they looked at it, and 47% of the fire departments our size end up doing their own dispatching. So about half of them do it the way we do it now. Another 30% do it by another agency that will, a public safety agency that will do that. And then about 18-19% do it when the police have complete control over the system. And there were only 3 percentage points that of entities our size that ended up doing it the way we did. So it just gives us the ability, the control, the ability to move as we need to move and make sure that we're serving the customers correctly. So about half of them do it the way we are now.
How are the staffing levels looking, not just for the 911 center, but your department overall?
This has been a tough economic time. The firefighters, we lost 54 positions last year to meet the reductions that that we had to take. And currently, with the pay issues that that we have and the benefits and the furloughs that we're currently on, there are a lot of men and women that are finding other organizations that are taking care of them or paying them a better wage. So just yesterday, I was notified of another firefighter going up to the Phoenix area, and that means that I'm 14 firefighters down out of a staff of 619 firefighters. So it's tight on the fire side, but on the dispatch side, we're dealing with the same exact problem. Other markets, other agencies have better benefits or more wages or higher wages that as soon as you get trained, it's better off if you can go get one of those other jobs. I don't fault anybody for this, but I need to make it so that this organization is the one that they choose to go to. And that's where I'm working with all the partners and people to try to make that that happen.
Tucson Fire Chief Jim Critchley is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Chief, there are some fundamental questions that every citizen in Tucson asks when it comes to emergency services. If they call 911, they expect a prompt response, and they also expect a fire engine, if they need it, to be at their residence or place of business as soon as possible. How are our response times?
So, The new system coming in actually gets a phone call to the dispatcher quicker than we had, and we're talking about seconds for the changes that have taken place. When you look at any responses, so that gets the emergency call into the 911 center. We transfer it to the people that need to take care of it, and then we dispatch it. Once we dispatch it, nothing really changed with our time. We can still meet that national standards with what I have today, but if I have more than one large call, I'll be hard-pressed to make it on the second one. And I'm talking about a second alarm fire or anything like that. But we meet our national standards today. We have to do some work in the communication center because we've got a couple of delays in there that have nothing to do with the equipment or the people, but it's the process that that we need to just tweak a little bit to get us to the national average of dispatching a call within 1 minute. Right now, we're about 90 seconds to take us to dispatch all of our medical calls on average.
I'm also curious, Chief Critchley, on what is the national standard for a city our size of getting a fire engine to a response time to an incident. Is there such a figure for that?
So the NFPA 1710 requires that the fire truck or ambulance arrive with a 4 minute travel time. And we're right at that average. I think that we can hit that 91% of the time. Now that's travel time. That's the time that it takes for us to get the dispatch, get in the truck, and travel to the call. You can look at total response times averages, and then they'll add in all the different parts to it. So how long does it take to dispatch, to get the call, to get the appropriate equipment on the road, to turn out or get out of the fire station, and then to travel? But right now, we are right at that edge, and 4 minutes is the number that we have for travel time. Total response time will be a five-minute average, and if you look at our website, we'll tell you that 5 minutes is the goal that we hit from the time you get out of the station to the time that you get onto the scene.
Okay, Chief Critchley, only a few seconds left with you, but to kind of summarize what I'm hearing you say about your, sounds like your priorities, get your keeping firefighters so they don't go to other departments, making it attractive enough for them, improving response times and the staffing levels at the 911 center. Did I get that pretty much correct?
Well said. You summarized that much better than I was doing. Thank you very much, Bill.
You can use that when you give a speech to the council today.
All right. I appreciate that.
Jim Critchley, congratulations to you. I think you're going to be a great addition at the head of the fire service here in Tucson. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, that's Jim Critchley. He will be formally appointed today as Tucson's fire chief. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers Rieger is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Thank you all for listening to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday edition. We are live here Monday through Friday, noon to 1, over the noon hour, live on KVOI AM 1030, the home of the Buckmaster Show. I hope you have a great afternoon. I am Bill Buckmaster. We will be talking with you tomorrow at noon right here on KVOI AM 1030.
KVOI KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.